Today's Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel. All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off yesterday. Today's daf is Chaf Gimel. We left off last three lines of Chaf Beis, Amud Beis. Tan Rabbanan. Tan Rabbanan, Chacham Shemes. If you have a Chacham who died, Beis Midrasho, Batal. His Beis Medrash stops learning. Rashi says over here, Chacham, Memuna al Ha'ir Shemevak Shememeno Hora. So Chacham refers to like the Rav of a town, the Rav of a city. See, if he dies, Beis Midrasho, Beis Osan Sheregilin Lilmo Torah Mipiv. So all those who would normally learn Torah from him, ultimately, again, they close up the Beis Medrash. Now, I've also said the reason they do that, you'll see to yourself, but it's Bittel Torah. It's Bittel Torah. So we'll say our learning today. Let me just get the name, I'm sorry. Our learning today is Le'ili Nishmas Golda Bas Alter Arya. It's actually the aunt of Gali Elbaum, who unfortunately passed away. The Levaya was yesterday. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Hashem will have an Aliyah. So therefore, the idea over here is not that we want to promote Bittel Torah, but the idea over here is we want to make sure that people give the Talmud Chacham the correct amount of kavod through hesped, through eulogizing, and just through paying attention to the laws. Therefore, again, there's no we stop the learning in the Beis Medrash. Av Beis Din Shemis, if an Av Beis Din, I'm supposed to say Av Beis Din is an individual who's in charge. This, in this case, it could be the local Batei Din. Kol Batei Medrasho Shebe'ir Batelim. Everyone, all the local Batei Medrash, closed down. V'nichnasin lebeis hakneses. And everyone gathers to daven together in the shul. U'mishanin es mekoman. And everybody changes their seat. Very interesting, meaning that everyone, remember, that changing your seat is one of the behaviors of Avelos. So everyone is in Avelos for the Av Beis, and therefore everyone switches their seat in the shul. Hayoshim etzafon yoshim bedarom. Those who sit in the north now sit in the south. Hayoshim bedarom yoshim etzafon. Those who normally sit in the south now sit in the north. You know, we'll say that they make a dramatic change in the direction of their seats. Nasi Shemes, if the Nasi dies, Batei Midrashos Kulan Betelin. So we'll say the Nasi is the head of the Jewish people. If the Nasi dies, all of the Batei Medrash close down. Ubnei HaKnesses Nichnasin LeBeis HaKnesses, and the people walk into the shuls. The Korin, top of Chaf Gimel, the Korin Shiva, they read seven Aliyos, V'yotzin. I will say now, it's interesting over here. If you look at Rashi, what does it mean they read seven Aliyos? Rashi says, the Korin Shiva, B'sefer Torah, De'in Mispalalin Yachar B'Beis HaKnesses, Ela Kol Echad Ve'Echad Mispal B'Beis. So also listen to this. When the Nasi dies, not only do we go ahead and close down the Batei Medrash, but in fact, again, we don't even gather together for prayer in shul. Everyone davens on their own. Now, Dafka, that means that they daven biyichidos. They could be davening still in Minyanim, and it could be by the Beis Aval of the Nasi or in other places. But the point is, we do not hold services within the shul itself. The only thing we gather for is for Kriyas HaTorah. This would be Bepashtos, yeah. 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 So the Gemara says the final Bishum and Karcha. Omer Bishum and Karcha says, Lo Sheyelchu V'Yitaylu Bishuk. Now again, now once we go ahead and we close down the Beis Medrash, or we're not having services in the shul besides Kriyas HaTorah, this is not your opportunity to go on a tiyul, right? This is not your opportunity to go on a jeshpatzir. Rather, Eli Yoshvin V'Domin. Rather, people should go in and sit and literally be quiet, contemplative, and recognize the loss of the Nasi. The Ein Omrim Shmua, the Agada Bebeis HaAvel. And we do not go ahead and state, we will say Shmua means halacha. Means halacha, literally means that which we have heard from our teachers. You do not go ahead and say Shmua, or you do not go ahead and really can mean halacha, Gemara, or Agada. Agada means homiletic teachings in the house of an Alva. I mean, we will say the logic would seem to be That lemaisa again, we curtail Talmud Torah the same way that an Avel has the Isra of Talmud Torah, so too, again, within the base Avel itself, we curtail the amount of Talmud Torah. Amru alava Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. They said about Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Shaya Omer Shmua va'agada beveisa avel. That Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel, that he would go ahead and he would teach halacha in the base of Avah. Rabbi Sahib Pashtos, what the Gemara means over here is the following. Obviously, there's an Isra Talmud Torah. So when we say that you can't teach halacha, so what is that talking about? So it sounds like what the Gemara is saying over here is that a person is not really even supposed to get into complicated teachings of even in Hilchos Avelos, that one should not start giving a shir of Hilchos Avelos within the base Avah, because even mourning-related topics, one should not delve too deeply into them. What the Gemara is saying over here, Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel allowed for the teaching of even in-depth topics as long as they were related somehow to Avelos, which Rabbi Osai is pretty much how we don't get into intricate shiurim in the base Avel, but the truth is we absolutely allowed to learn items that are associated with Avelos, as well as things that are associated with the motif of either death or using death as a catalyst for more enhanced living. Let's say, for example, you know, by here, what we try to do often, let's say, in the base of us, to learn Pirkei Avos. Because, you know, even interestingly enough, the one exception to the Talmud Torah rule is Mishnayos. It's very interesting, right? There's an Isra of Talmud Torah, yet we learn Mishnayos in the base of us. And, of course, again, that's because of the Mishnah Neshama connection. But I always thought it's very intriguing that often you're learning Mishnayos that have absolutely nothing to do with anything, right? I mean, the only thing you have to do with is you're spelling out the name of the deceased, and you're learning Mishnayos from all areas of Shas. So the truth is that's certainly an established minhag, but others also feel that, you know what, if you use the opportunity to teach other Mishnayos, Pirkei Avos, other things, because again, in the base of Avel, people are more in a contemplative state. When you come face to face with death, you become a more contemplative individual. So it's an opportunity as a springboard for more enhanced living as well. So that's what Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel was saying. Tanu Rabbanan, Avel, when a person is in Avelos, Shabbos Rishon Eini Yotzei Pesach Beso, the first week he does not leave his home. He has to stay home. Shnia Yotzei Veini Yoshev Bimkomo, second week he goes out, but he does not sit in his place in shul. Shlishis Yoshev Bimkomo Veino Medaber, the third week he goes out, he could sit in his place in shul, but he doesn't speak to others. Revius Harihu Kichol Adam, and by the fourth week already, he's like everyone else. Rabbi Huda says, Lo Hutzrichu Lomar Shabbos Rishon Alotzei Pesach Beso, you don't have to tell me that a Avel can't leave his home the first week, Rabbi Osai. Why not? Shahari Akon Nichnas Labeso Lenachamo. Obviously, he's not leaving that first week. Why? Because Lamaisa, that's the week of Shiva. And Halacha Lamaisa, everyone is coming to comfort him. Rashi says, Lo Hutzrichu Lomar Shabbos Rishona, Shevadai Lo Yetze Mi Pesach Beso. Obviously, he's not going to go ahead and... Is something wrong?
No sound.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Both sides of those joining us online, I apologize. Okay. All right. Thank you. So the Gemara says the following: Hakol nechas labeso nachmo elishnia eni yotzei pesach beso shlishis. I'm sorry. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda has a different model. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to speak about the first week because on the first week, obviously, you're going to go ahead and on the first week, everyone is coming to the individual. So obviously, he's not leaving his home. So rather, what you have to say is the following: Ella shnia eni yotzei pesach beso. The second week, he also doesn't leave his home. Shlishes Yotzei Ve'en Yoshev Imkomo. On the third week already, he leaves his home. But he does not sit in his place in shul. Revias Yoshev Imkomo. On the fourth week, he sits in place, his place. Ve'eno Medaber, but does not speak to others. Chamishes Harihi Kechol Adam. Harihu Kechol Adam. By the fifth week, right, which I remember, by the fifth week, that is already after the completion of Shloshim. See, he is like every other individual. Okay, I will say again, so we already saw Halacha Lamaisa, how we paskin in terms of greetings. We saw that already in 2 days ago's daf and in Monday's daf. We saw again how we speak about how we deal with greetings during Avelos. And we paskin Halacha Lamaisa that the Avel, in fact, does change his seat for the duration of the Avelos. So let's say again, for non-parents, that'll be for Shloshim. And for parents, that'll be the entire duration of the 11 months. Tan Rabbanan. Kol, we'll say this is a very interesting sugya. Kol shloshim yom l'nisuin. a person cannot get married. Let's say a person lost his spouse. A person lost his spouse. So he can't get remarried during the entire shloshim. Rashi says over here, kol shloshim lo min nisuin, ad shloshim yom la'achar avlo. In the Yochalisa Isha. So a person cannot get remarried until after Shloshim, until after 30 days of the Avelos. Mesa Ishto. It now again about side, that's a general statement. That's even not if his wife died. I'm saying a person's in Avelos for a brother or a sister, other people for whom there is just a period of Shloshim. A person should not get married forced until after Shloshim. Mesa Ishto, if a person loses his wife, Chas V'Shalom, Aser Lisa Isha Acheres. It's very interesting. A person should not remarry until three regalim, until a Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkis, Lav Dafka has to be in order, but has to go ahead and three regalim have elapsed. Rabbi Huda says, Regal Rishon Vesheni Aser. No, you just have to wait two regalim. Ushlishi Mutter, and by the third regal already it's Mutter. However, Ve'im Ein Lo Banin, if a person doesn't have children, Mutter Lisa La'altar. So we'll say if a person doesn't have children, meaning person, a man has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah of Piri of Arivia, of having children, so the Maisi is permitted to go ahead and get married immediately, Mishum Bittel Piri of Arivia. Because again, every moment that he's not married, he's actively negating the positive mitzvah of procreation. So I'll say, obviously, la'alter in this context cannot mean la'alter like during Shiva, but la'alter, we'll define that term in just a little bit. So the Gemara says, Hanicha lo banim kitanim. If a person, Nebuch, was a widower, and his wife left him with small children, Mutter Lisa La'alter Mipnei Parnasasan. You are permitted to go ahead and get married, remarried immediately in order to go ahead and take care of the children. I mean, I'll say, interestingly enough, I want to point something fascinating out to you, is that this halacha was phrased in one direction. If you notice this, the halacha phrases this as a man who lost his wife, not as a wife who lost her husband. Because it's amazing how Chazal felt that a woman is much better equipped to go ahead and deal with children, raise young children, even Chas V'Shalom as a widow, than a man would be as a widower. So again, there are also certain leniencies for the woman as well. A woman has a more complicated issue because of the concept of what's called Havchana. That's whenever a woman goes from one marriage to another marriage, there is an automatic 3-month wait in order to make sure she's not pregnant from the first husband. So she already has a built-in waiting part. So the Gemara says, however, that for a man who now is a widower, if he has small children, he's permitted to get married immediately. And I both say, what does that mean immediately? Listen, this is an amazing story. Ma'asa shemesa ishto shel Yosef HaKohen. So the wife of Yosef HaKohen died. Va'amar la'achosa bebeis hakvaras. And he said to his wife's sister in the cemetery, his wife had an unmarried sister, L'chi uparnasi es b'nei achoseich. Please come and take care of the children of your sister. Now, when he was saying that now to his sister-in-law, what that was a veiled statement of, we should get married. We should get married. But there was no consummation of the marriage for a long time. Until after Shloshim. So interestingly enough, what seemed to have happened over here, what the Gemara seems to be saying over here, is that Lamaisa Erusin, betrothal, would be permitted even during the course of Shiva. La'alter. And La'alter here, I mean, Ein La'alter Gedolah Mizo. Literally, they're at the cemetery. They're at the cemetery. I don't know if he got down on one knee. Right? But you know, but they're literally at the cemetery. Take care of the kids. Again, I will say, this is, you have to understand something also. Remember, these are utilitarian relationships. So again, this is about a need. There are young children. The children need a maternal influence. Someone has to be there. Yosef HaKohen either can't or is unable to. He literally says to his sister-in-law at the cemetery, essentially, will you marry me? Take care of the kids. She says yes. I don't know if Erisin happened at that moment or Erisin happened sometime a little bit later. So they're technically married, but again, Nisuin, and ultimately consummation of the marriage cannot occur until after Shloshim. So the altar seems to mean that betrothal, Erisin, could take place even immediately, but Nisuin will not take place until later on. But I want to show you an amazing Tosis. Take a look. See the Tosis, Ad She Ya'avru Shlosh Regalim. It's a very meaningful Tosis. So remember again, the Gemara said that a man should not remarry until after three regalim have passed, after he's lost his wife. Now remember, again, that's not talking about a case where there are young children or there are no children. Remember, if a man doesn't yet have children, he has a mitzvah period of arrivia of procreation. He should get married. Man has small children. He needs someone to help raise the kids. He should get married. Let's say, again, a person doesn't have those issues and a person lost his wife. So, again, the Gemara says, wait three regalim before getting remarried. So, look what Tosa says over here. Ad sheyihyeh shlosh regalim b'lo simcha v'lo yishkach ahavas ishto. So this is amazing. So what Tosa says is, we want to make sure that a man never forgets his first wife, so that he should go with three regalim, and he should realize how empty his life is without her. He'll have three regalim without simcha, and that will ensure that he will never forget the love of his wife. Such a beautiful idea. Inami, could listen to this. Inami, kedei sheyisa isha acheres, v'lo yehei zochar min arishona. Or alternatively, this is so interesting. So according to the first approach, the whole chapa is we want him to wait in order that he doesn't forget his wife. According to the second approach, we want him to wait. Why? So that by the time he gets remarried, what? He's not, the Lashon of Tosa says, lo yezacha min arishona. He's not going to be thinking about his first wife anymore. Now, what does it mean he's not going to be thinking about his first wife? I mean, she's not going to be as front and foremost on his mind. Why is this important? Shelo yehe beis deos b'mita. Literally, the Gemara says it. The Gemara actually says this, that there shouldn't be three people in bed together. Now what does that mean, Abosai? That when a man is remarried, we don't want him, what? Okay, thank you. I don't know, I've sealed some puzzled looks. When a man gets remarried, we don't want him thinking about his first wife in the course of intimacy with his second wife. And therefore, Chazal understood that you need a little bit of you need the passage of time just to allow not to forget, but for that memory to recede just a little bit. V'od penyas kirena avas ishto lekantera. So we'll say this is also amazing, that what could happen, that remember sometimes the memory of that first wife could go ahead and cause other issues within the marriage, right? By definition, if the memory is very strong, a man might, by definition, compare his second wife to his first wife, which can lead to an incredible amount of friction. Fine. Okay, good. So we'll say, so the point, I just thought it's such a beautiful, you don't normally see like Tosa something like this. It's just such a beautiful idea. So wait either to intensify those feelings of longing and love for his first wife, or just the opposite, to allow the passage of time, to allow the memories to recede just a little bit and allow him the tools to be able to go ahead and forge a meaningful second marriage. Okay, just a beautiful idea. Says the Gemara. Says Tana Rabbanon, we'll say five lines up from the bottom. Tana Rabbanon, Kol Shloshim Yom Legiutz, Echad Kilim Chadoshim, Echad Kilim Yishonim, Yotzim Mitoch HaMachmash. So we'll say, so the Brisa says over here, for 30 days, meaning during Shloshim, you can't go ahead, Gihus Rabbosai means pressing. You should not press clothing, new clothing, old clothing that come out of the press. You should not use the press. So again, you shouldn't press clothing over the course of Shloshim. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Lo asru ala kelim chadoshim bilvad. Rebbe says, no, the prohibition on gihutz, on pressing, was only for new clothing. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, Lo asru ala kelim chadoshim levanim bilvad. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says, the prohibition is not just on new clothing, rather it's only on new white clothing. So the Gemara tells a story. Abaye nofek begarda disarbalo kirebi. So Abaye went out during Shloshim with a garda disarbalo. Rashi says over here, garda disarbalo, malbush lavan meguatz yashan. It was a white garment that was pressed, but it was old. And he went out in accordance with Rebbe, because Rebbe held that the only prohibition to press is what? Is new clothing. Rava Nafik, Bechi Mutzta Rumisa Sumakta. Rava went out with Rava Sevilik Drashi, Chimutzta Chaluk, an article of clothing, Romisa Shebame Romi, Roman, and Sumakta means red. So Rava went out with a red Roman cloak, Charati, a new one, a brand new one during Shloshim. Why? Kerebi Elazar Shimon, because he went to Kerebi Elazar Shimon, because Rebbe Elazar Shimon says that the only prohibition on pressing is on what? Is on white clothing. But because new white clothing, but because again, this was a new article of clothing, but it was red, so he held that it was not subject to the prohibition of pressing. Okay. So also now we get into a fascinating sugya. Remember again, the Mishnah made a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. And Yom Tov, as we've seen already extensively, effectively truncates, cuts off, not just truncates Shiva, or the truth is whatever period of Avelus you're in, either Shiva or Shloshim. However, again, we saw in the Mishnah that Shabbos is Ola Ve'ina Mafsekes. Shabbos counts towards the tally of Shiva, and it does not interrupt, it does not truncate, it does not bring Shiva or Shloshim to a screeching halt. So the Gemara says, B'nei Yehuda o B'nei Galila. So we'll say, this is very interesting. The people of Yehuda and the people of the Galil had two different practices. Remember, again, we see this a number of times in the Gemara, that there were different communal practices within Yehuda. Remember, Yehuda is the center of the country, and the Galil, which is the north of the country. So there were different practices between the communities of Yehuda and the communities of Galil. How so? Hani Amri, these said, top of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, these said, Yesh Avelos b'Shabbos. These said that Avelos does apply on Shabbos. Vahani Amri, and these said, meaning different communal practices, Ein Avelos b'Shabbos. There is no Avelos on Shabbos. I must say, if you take a look at the tab Tosus, Yesh Avelos b'Shabbos, so what does Tosus say? Bedvarim shebetzina mairi, kedeperish bekuntros. It's actually interesting. Rashi's actually not going to comment on this until the next Amid, but Tosa says it over here. That what does it mean? They have a machlokes. What's the machlokes? Everyone agrees that Shiva does not cut off the count of, that Shabbos does not cut off the count of Shiva. What else does everyone agree on? That there are no external behaviors of Avelos, no external Avelos behaviors on Shabbos, right? That's why, again, Halacha L'maisa, the Ova puts on regular shoes, changes out of his torn clothing. If there are mirrors covered in the house, uncovers the mirror, comes to shul, does not daven at home. So everyone agrees. The machlokes is, does an Ova observe the private displays of Avelos on Shabbos or not? That's what I was saying. But Dram Shabbatzina means Avelos behaviors observed in private. So is Sahani Amri Yesh Avelos b'Shabbos? So in one place, they said that we do observe the private displays of mourning on Shabbos. Vahani Amri, and in another place they said we do not observe the private displays of Avelos on Shabbos. So the Gemara says like this: Man do Amri Yesh Avelos b'Shabbos. So the opinion holds that we do observe the private displays of mourning on Shabbos, diktani ola. Because remember, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that Shabbos counts as part of the Shiva. So because Shabbos counts as part of the Shiva, what must that mean? It must mean that some of the Shiva practices are in effect on Shabbos itself. Man da amar ein avelos b'Shabbos. The opinion holds that no, there is no avelos on Shabbos. Why? Diktani Eina mafsekes. Because what does the Mishnah say, Rabbi Osai? The Mishnah says that Shabbos does not cut off the count. So what do you infer from that? So eina mafsekes means it doesn't cut off, but what? But you also don't observe even private practices, even private displays on Shabbos itself. Because if you would say that we do observe certain mourning behaviors on Shabbos, hashta, Avelus nago afsuke mi baya. That was like, because if it was true that you observed even certain private displays of mourning on Shabbos, so if you're going to observe private displays of mourning on Shabbos, do you even have to say that Shabbos does not cut off the Shiva? So what this man Dover is saying is by the fact that it says that Shabbos is eina mafsekes, the fact that it says that Shabbos doesn't stop, that indicates that Shabbos does not stop the Shiva, curtail or truncate the Shiva, that indicates that what? That there are no mourning practices observed on Shabbos. Because if there were mourning practices observed on Shabbos, you wouldn't even have to say that Shabbos doesn't cut off the Shiva. Shabbos said, this is the fundamental dispute here. Do the private displays of mourning apply on Shabbos or not? So Mando Amr number one says, yes, Why? Because the Mishnah says that Shabbos counts as part of Shiva. So if it says that Shabbos counts as part of Shiva, it means that there are private displays that are observed. The second man, the Amr, says, no, there are no private displays of mourning on Shabbos. Why not? Because the Mishnah said Shabbos doesn't truncate the Shiva. If it was true that there are mourning displays on Shabbos, it would go without saying. You wouldn't even have to mention this in the Mishnah. The fact that the Mishnah has to mention it is to tell me that it doesn't truncate Shiva, but there are no behaviors observed. Ella, the Ella, Hakatani Ola. But what does the second man, the Amr, say about the fact that the Mishnah does say Ola, that Shabbos counts towards Shiva, which would seem to indicate that the morning practices should be observed on Shabbos? To which the Gemara says, I did the Kabbai, the Mishnah Seifa, Einon Olin. Tanaresha Ola, we'll say, to which that this is the second Mandarma would answer, that the Mishnah is essentially just trying to achieve some level of, we'll call it Mishnaic symmetry. That since the second part of the Mishnah, namely the part that talks about Yom Tov, has to say that the days of Yom Tov are Einon Olin, they do not count as part of Shiva because they truncate Shiva, so too, again, the Mishnah uses a symmetrical Lashon by Shabbos to say that Shabbos is Ola. But it doesn't mean to say that the morning practices apply on Shabbos. Is just coming to contrast it with Yom Tov. Ulaman do Amr Yesh Avelos b'Shabbos, and according to the opinion who holds that there is Avelos on Shabbos, Hakatani Eina Mavsekas. So let's say, according to the opinion who says that there is Avelos on Shabbos, what does he do with the fact that the Mishnah says that Shabbos does not Eina Mavsekas? It doesn't truncate Shabbos. Mishum, so let's say, meaning the logic behind that is. The logic behind that is because if it's going to say Inam Afsekes, if it was true that there were morning practices on Shabbos, you wouldn't even have to say Inam Afsekes. The fact that it says Inam Afsekes, that Shabbos doesn't truncate the Avelos, indicates that what? That there are no morning practices on Shabbos. So what does the man d'Amar who holds that there are private displays of mourning on Shabbos do with that phrase Inam Afsekes? Mishum de kaboy le misna seifa mafsikin. Tanaresha in a mafsek. So also he gives the same answer that because again the end of the Mishnah by Yom Tov says that Yom Tov is mafsik. So too again, Mishnaic symmetry uses by Shabbos that Shabbos is Eina mafsik. Okay, so I'll say the point over here is that the Mishnah doesn't really provide a clear and conclusive proof towards either of these opinions. So we're still left with a fundamental dispute. Do the private displays of mourning apply on Shabbos or not? To which the Gemara says, Limek Tanoi. The truth is, this is a machlokes tanoim. What's the machlokes? Mi shemeso mutu lefanov, someone nebach who lost a loved one, and the dead person is right there, the corpse is right there in front of them. Ochel bebayis acher. You shouldn't eat in front of the corpse. Shouldn't eat in front of the corpse. I will say, now what's the logic behind that? Interestingly enough, the logic behind it, now this, you see, there's a concept of loig l'rash. Loig l'rash means, literally, you don't go ahead and, you don't take out your wallet, or you don't take out a wad of bills in front of a pauper. You don't do things in front of a pauper that reinforce their impoverished state. So, for example, the halacha is that if you go to a cemetery, you have to tuck in your tzitzis. You have to tuck in your tzitzis. Why? Because the mace, the dead, don't have the ability to do the mitzvahs. So the assumption over here is, the mace, again, if a person will make a bracha in front of a mace. So the mace, again, this is considered the disrespectful behavior in front of the mace by doing something that the mace himself can't do. Now, obviously, it could be that a person's not making a bracha over here because a person might be an onane themselves because they just lost a loved one. The truth is, again, it could also just be the act of eating. The act of eating itself, which is a behavior associated with life, perhaps life-affirming behaviors, should not be done within the presence of the mace. So, 100%. But again, it could be that the Gemara over here is not. We're not worried about that. You're going to be telling me regardless because you're going to be burying your relative. So the Ma'aseh Gemara is not worried about the tumah right here. But this is definitely tumah. If you're under the same roof with a mace, there's tumah. Oh well, I'm not leaving a mace alone. Correct. So the tumah, yeah, the tumah is a given. Tumah is a given over here. So what do you do? Ocha v'ayisacher. Go eat somewhere else. Ein lo bayis acher. If again you don't have another home, ocha bebeis chavero. Go ahead and even meaning if you don't have, if you yourself don't have another home, the summer home was under construction, right? So you're not able to go ahead and eat there. So go eat in your friend's house. Ein lo beis chavero. You don't have a friend, or you have a friend but your friend doesn't have a house, right? Ein lo beis chavero. Osa lo mechitza sar tfachim. Create essentially a partition between yourself and the corpse. If you don't have anything with which to make a partition between yourself and the corpse, machzir panav, you should turn away from the corpse. Va'ochel, meaning turn your back to the corpse and eat not facing the corpse. However, furthermore, ve'eno meisa va'ochel, when you're eating, you should not recline while you're eating. Ve'eno ochel basar, you don't eat meat. Ve'eno shosa yayin, you don't drink wine. I will say these are all halachas avaninos. When a person is in that state after having lost a loved one between death and burial, these are all things we don't do. A person does not go ahead and recline when they eat. A person doesn't eat meat, doesn't drink wine. The logic behind that is what? We don't want the person to become preoccupied. Person has meat and wine. That's a real culinary experience. A person can get a little bit carried away with that. A person could devote themselves to that and neglect taking care of the needs of the mace. So it's actually a very interesting halacha that during aninos, so during the period between death and burial, you're not permitted to eat meat and wine. That is halacha lemaisa. Interestingly enough, during Shiva, there are no such restrictions. So during Shiva, you want to have meat and wine every single meal. That is your prerogative. Not a good idea, but that is absolutely your prerogative. But during aninos, when you must be focused on the needs of the mace, you are not permitted to eat meat, drink wine.
Mutalafara here means, I know it means physics. Does it also mean conceptually that you have to bury him?
Correct. The way we apply it is conceptually as well, which is making a very important point. Mutalafanav here literally means the mace is there. That's why it talks about not eating right in front of the mace. For our purposes, we assume that when a person loses a relative, the needs of that relative are mutalafanav, right? They're on the individual. That's why these restrictions will still apply even if the mace is not actually right in front of you. So the Gemara says, you don't make any brachas. And I remember an onin does not make brachos. Ve'eno mezamein. So you don't make a bracha before you eat. Mezamein, about saying in this context, means birkas hamazon. You don't bench. You don't bench after you eat. Ve'ein mevarchin alav. Ve'ein mezamein alav. Other people don't make brachas for me. And other people cannot include me in a mezumen. And this is all halacha l'maisa. U'pater mikriyashma. And I'm exempt from Shema, from Tefillah, from Tefillin. Umikol ha-mitzos ha-muros b'Torah. And from all the mitzos, all the positive commandments. I can't go out and commit averos, but I'm exempt from all positive mitzvos. I will say, so those are the laws of Aninos in a nutshell. However, u'b'Shabbos, see, interestingly enough, however, what happens if a person loses a loved one, I'm sorry, on Shabbos, so what is the halacha? I will say, obviously, a difference on Shabbos is I can't do anything right now. First of all, remember, a mace is muktzah. You can't move a mace on Shabbos. Remember, again, we saw in our Masechah Shabbos days that if you need to move a mace because of Kavanah mace, you can put the loaf of bread, or you can put the baby on top of the mace and carry the mace like that. But under normal circumstances, a mace is absolutely muktzah. So there's nothing really for me to actually do on Shabbos. So what's the halacha? Mesa v'ochal, I could recline and eat. V'ochal basa v'shosiyayin, I could eat meat, I could drink wine. Mivarich, I may have to make brachas. Mizamin, I have to bench. U'mivarchin u'mizamin alav, other people can make brachas for me, other people can include me in the mezumin. V'chayiv b'kriyashma u'betfilo b'tfilin. I will say, most of the Gersels remove tefillin from here because there's no tefillin on Shabbos. But you're chayiv in Shema, you're chayiv in Shemona Esrei, u'v'chol ha-mitzos ha-muros b'Torah. And all the mitzvos. Now, I will say, essentially, what is the Gemara saying? That on Shabbos, there is no aninos. There is no aninos on Shabbos, which makes sense because aninos represents, again, the period of time where you are actively involved in taking care of the needs of burial. Because on Shabbos, you cannot be involved in those things. Therefore, lemaisa, you essentially are a regular individual. You have to make brachas, you have to do mitzvos, no prohibition on meat, no prohibition on wine. Yes, so you still would try not to eat in the presence of the mace itself. That is correct. So the Gemara goes right there. Rabbi Gamliel says, "Mitoch shenischayev be'elu, nischayev be'kulon." So Rabbi Gamliel says, "Once you are chayev in these, you're chayev in everything." Rashi says, "Mitoch shenischayev be'elu, Kriyashma, meaning what Rabbi Gamliel is coming to add, is when the Braisa says over here that you're chayiv in Shema, you're chayiv in Tefillah. So remember again, you're chayiv, that really, that's code for you're chayiv in everything. Now, we'll say we will see exactly what Rabbi Gamliel is adding because the Braisa itself said, Ubechov ha-mitzvos ha-amuros b'Torah. So we're going to come back in just a moment. So Rabbi Gamliel says, once you're chayiv in these, you're chayiv in everything. Va'am Rabbi Yochanan says, Tashmish Shamita Ikana. So we'll say, see, here's the question. We have the Braisa that says that on Shabbos, here's what everybody's agreeing on, which is that essentially on Shabbos there's no aninos. On Shabbos there's no aninos. So the Tanakhama said that once you're chayiv in Kriya Shema and Tefillah, you're chayiv in Kol HaMitzvos all mitzvos. Rabbi Gamliel says that once you're chayiv in these, you're chayiv in everything. So we'll say, obviously, the fact that Rabbi Gamliel feels the need to go ahead and make this statement indicates that he's arguing somehow on the Tanakhama. What's the machlokes? So Rabbi Yochanan, Tashmish Hamita Ika Benayu. What's the machlokes in Rabbi Gamliel and Tanakhama? Marital relations. We'll say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Tashmish Hamita Ika Benayu. Hada Amar Neschayiv Bekulan. When Rabbi Gamliel says that you are obligated in all mitzvos, savar mutter b'tashmish shamita, v'tanakama savar aser b'tashmish shamita. So we'll say, let's play this out. It's very interesting. So now what happens? A person, Rachman al-San, loses a loved one. Now it's Shabbos. So as we said already again, so the din of aninos, at least aninos in its full form, will not apply because it's Shabbos. So now everybody's agreeing, chayiv in Shema, chayiv in Tefillah. Tanakhama says, chayiv in all mitzvos. Rabbi Gamliel says, you chayiv mamish in all mitzvos. What are they arguing about? Marital relations. Is a person permitted to engage in marital relations with one's wife on that Shabbos when one has just lost a relative? Tanakhama says, no. Tanakhama says that there is still that element of aninos that applies and it prohibits the man from engaging in marital relations. Rabbi Gamliel says, no. Once it's Shabbos and there's no aninos, it means that what? That you're permitted in everything, including marital relations. So the Gemara says, my benayu, I'm sorry, my love, b'hakam yaflegi, what are they arguing about? Oh, I'll tell you what they're arguing about. Demar savriye shavelis b'shabbos. Umar Savar Ein Avelos B'Shabbos. Well, so I tell you what they're arguing about. They're arguing about, is there mourning? Are there mourning practices, private mourning practices on Shabbos or not? Tanakhama, who says that Tashmish Amita is Aser, will say that there are private mourning practices on Shabbos. Rabbi Gamliel, who says that Tashmish Amita is Mutter, will say that what? There are no private mourning practices on Shabbos. And Rabbi Gamliel, why is this important? Because now what we're seeing over here is that the machlokis that we saw between the people of Yehuda and Galil about are there private mourning practices on Shabbos or not is in fact a machlokis tanoim. It's a machlokis in the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel, to which the Gemara says, Mimai, maybe not, maybe that's not the machlokis between Rabbi Gamliel and the Tanakhama. Dilma ad kan lo kamar Tanakhama hasam, ela mishum demei somuto lefanov. So maybe not, because again, remember, perhaps you can say like this, why does the Tanakhama prohibit marital relations? Rabosai, in the case that we just quoted before, very simply, it's meso mutalafanov. That corpse is in my house. That corpse is in my house. When that corpse is in my house again, so engaging in marital relations is just absolutely inappropriate when the dead person is mamish, is there under the same roof with me. Aval hocha, de'in meisul mutal levana. But however, again, in the case of, let's say, Shiva, where Rabbi says Shabbos of Shiva, where the corpse is not there, obviously, burial has already taken place, lo, maybe it could be that the Tanakhama would permit marital relations on the Shabbos of Shiva. Va'ad kan, lo kamar Rabbi Gamliel hasam da'akati lo chal avelos alei. Furthermore, again, maybe the only reason Rabbi Gamliel allows for marital relations in the case of the Braisa, because Avelos has not yet begun. Shiva has not yet begun, because Shiva only begins when? With the burial. But maybe over here, meaning in the case of Shabbos Shiva, where Avelos has already begun, perhaps again what? Perhaps Lemaisa again, marital relations will be prohibited. So I say the point the Gemara is making over here is what the Gemara wanted to do was to take the machlokes in the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel, remember, again, holds that marital relations are permitted on that Shabbos where a person just lost their relative. Tanakhama says marital relations are usher, and the Gemara wanted to say that what they're really arguing about are, do the private displays of mourning apply on Shabbos or not? To which the Gemara essentially answers, that might not be their machlokas. They might be having a totally separate machlokas, and what they hold in this case may not be what they would hold in what? In the case of Shabbos of Shiva. And as such, again, so remember what we tried to do is we tried to show that the machlokes of if there are the private behaviors of mourning apply on Shabbos or not, that it's really a machlokes tanoim. We've been unsuccessful in that initiative. So the machlokes tanoim here may not be that machlokes. So we're still left, however, with the fundamental dispute between Yehuda and Galil. Do the private displays of mourning apply on Shabbos or not? We'll stop over here and Amir Tashem continue with this question tomorrow.